Matthew chapter 21. We've already looked at it. Tell the daughters of Zion, verse 5, behold, your king is coming to you, lowly and sitting on a donkey, a colt, the foal of a donkey. And the second quote is from Psalm 118. Hosanna to the Son of David, blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest. Father, I pray that you bless now as we share the word. May it fill our hearts with joy. May it fill our minds with perception and understanding. And may it motivate our will, Father, to follow you and to magnify you and exalt you in all that we say and do. And we'll give you praise in Jesus' name. Amen. Now, if you turn back to Psalm chapter 118, Psalm 118, I was here Friday morning for Living Grace Christian School, and the speaker, Brother Blasco from Beth Messiah congregation that meets here on Saturdays, was speaking from this chapter. I'd like to look at verse number 19. Open to me the gates of righteousness, and I will go through them, and I will praise the Lord. This is the gate of the Lord, through which the righteous shall enter. I will praise you, for you have answered me and have become my salvation. The stone which the builders rejected has become the chief cornerstone. It was the Lord's doing. It is marvelous in our eyes. This is the day the Lord hath made. We will rejoice and be glad in it. Save now, I pray you, O Lord. O Lord, I pray, and send now prosperity. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. We have blessed you from the house of the Lord. God is the Lord. He has given us light. Bind the sacrifice with cords to the horns of the altar. You are my God, and I will praise you. You are my God, I will exalt you. Now, although this is written, brothers and sisters, in Old Testament language, it has great New Testament, New Covenant implications. For instance, bind the sacrifice with cords to the horns of the altar. How does the Lord come into our life in these days? He comes into our lives when we come and give ourselves to Him, He who gave Himself totally to us as a sacrifice for our sins. When Christ was nailed to the cross, He gave Himself. He bound Himself to the altar. He was nailed to the cross. In the garden, He won that battle, not my will, but yours be done. And Jesus gave Himself to the Father to accomplish the divine purpose and the divine will. And when He went to the cross, He went there voluntarily. Never had this happened before. He went there innocent. He went there without sin. He went there to take on the sin of the world. He bound Himself to the altar. He bound Himself. And this week, between this Sunday and next Sunday, is when the traditional church... And it so happens this year that a lot of this coincides with the Messianic Jewish calendar. That between this Sunday, symbolized by Christ coming into Jerusalem, and next Sunday, where we celebrate and magnify the fact that nailed to the cross and buried in the grave, Jesus arose from the dead. Now, one of the things, when I did the three-night revival, I spoke to the people extensively about 15 things. I did 5 things a night. 15 things that characterize the New Testament church. And the very first one that I emphasized was that the New Testament church has an awesome confidence in the reality of the resurrection of Jesus Christ. We know He was nailed to the cross. He gave Himself. He was bound and like a sacrifice with cords to the horns of the altar. He went to the cross for you and I. And the way we reciprocate, brothers and sisters, Romans 12, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present yourself a living sacrifice on the altar. That we give ourselves to the Lord totally. That we are yielded to Him in all that we do. To do that, be not conformed to this world, but to be transformed by the renewing of our mind. The same as Christ was bound to the cross, bound to the altar, the same way when we come to worship Him, it's like we say, Lord, I bind myself to You. I bind my body. I bind my heart. I bind my soul. I'm not just bonded to You, but I bind myself to the altar with cords. I present myself. I lay hold of You. I surrender totally and completely. And in that transaction, Jesus gave Himself all to us. We can't purchase our salvation, but we can give ourselves completely to Him, and in the process experience service and sanctification and groweth. Amen? Now, in this transaction, we find that Jesus comes. And as He comes, we must open our heart to receive Him. Behold, I stand at the door of the heart and knock. And he who opens the door, I will come in and sup with him. And so there is a wonderful dynamic relationship between you and I as believers and our God and the Lord Jesus Christ. There's a heavenly aspect, there's an earthly aspect. And I want to explore that some with you this morning. Turn to Psalm chapter 24. Psalm chapter 24. And a lot of this is the spirit behind what we were seeking to communicate in Liberia each and every time we've gone, that the Church of Jesus Christ is the answer to that nation's problems. They don't have an awful lot to work with. The resources are low, except they have a strong and committed Church of Jesus Christ. And in Psalm chapter 24, the earth is the Lord's in all of its fullness. Now come down to verse number 7. Lift up your heads, O you gates, and be lifted up, you everlasting doors, and the King of glory shall come in. Who is this King of glory? The Lord strong and mighty. Who is this King of glory? The Lord mighty in battle. Lift up your heads, O you gates. Lift up, you everlasting doors, and the King of glory shall come in. Who is this King of glory? The Lord of hosts. He is the King of glory. Now, we know the simple gospel story. The narrative is wonderful. God so loved the world that He sent His Son. Jesus came. He lived at 30. He was baptized in water. And the Lord said, "This is my beloved Son in whom I am well pleased. Hear you Him." Immediately He was driven by the Spirit into the wilderness. He was tested. He fasted for 40 days, at the end of which Satan came to test Him and tempt Him. And He passed the three temptations. He did, you know, he passed them by saying, "Thus saith the Lord, the Word of God says." And He used the Word to refute, and He stood strong in that confidence. And Satan left Him, although it says he to wait to another day to come back. You know, the amazing thing about Satan is he can't get you today. Watch out. He's going to come back in another way. He's an incessant foe. But Jesus was the victor. And then Jesus went from that time, and He went out into the streets, and He began to proclaim, "Behold, the kingdom of God is at hand. The time is fulfilled. The time has come. The kingdom is at hand." And He declared the kingdom rule and reign of God. That is so important. It's like a cornerstone. If we don't get that square, everything else will be lost. There'll be confusion. We'll have no anchor to our faith. Behold, the kingdom of God is at hand. And the secret of this day on the Christian calendar is when Jesus came into the city of Jerusalem on a colt. They were saying, "Hosanna in the highest." He was being presented as the king. The very same people, however, who were rooting and celebrating and declaring and hoping were disillusioned a few days later when He died on the cross of Calvary. They were expecting Him to come with military strength, with chariots, with soldiers, and to defeat the Romans and to liberate the nation. And He came with a different message. He didn't come with the message of military power. He came with the message of transforming grace. He said, "If my kingdoms are like this world, then my disciples would fight." He said, "I've come to give peace." He came with a different kind of kingdom. As Pastor Dan said very, very early in this service, He came as a different kind of king. He came to be a different kind of representation on the face of the earth. And so here in Psalm 24, lift up your heads, O you gates. That's speaking about authority. Lift up your heads, O you gates. The King of Glory shall come in. How does the King of Glory come in? The Lord strong and mighty, the Lord mighty in battle. Lift up your heads, O you gates. Lift up, you everlasting doors. And the King of Glory shall come in. Who is this King of Glory? The Lord of hosts. He is the King of Glory. And so we are privileged to stand in the gate. North Gate wasn't necessarily named North Gate because of any spectacular spiritual reasoning. We just happened to be at the North Gate entrance of Montgomery Village. But going beyond that, we stand as a gate community. We stand as a gate community of the kingdom of God. Lift up your gate, O people of God. That's speaking to all of us. We are the church of Jesus Christ. And we have a gate responsibility to welcome the King of Glory in. And that's the great privilege that we have as we gather week by week. Now, in this matter of one night at the crusade, I was asked to speak, and I spoke the first night. And I chose that reference in 2 Corinthians 6:2. Today is the day of salvation. To accept Christ today while it is still called today. And that was the theme that I stayed with that night. Today is the gate of salvation. Now when it talks about, O ye gates, welcome the King of Glory in, every one of us has a gate to our life. There's a personal dimension. We can shut the Lord out, or we can open up the gate and welcome Him in. We can shut Him out, the door, or we can welcome Him in. And when we welcome Him in, we open up the gates, the King of Glory comes in. I emphasized that night, today is the day when God can make all things new in your life. And then I spoke, today is the day God can give you forgiveness. I talked about forgiveness. And then I proclaimed to the crowd, today is the day God will help you to love others. When you come to Him today, you have the power of love, to love one another, to love others. And the fourth point is, today is the day when you can enter the kingdom of God. That was a very simple message. This is the day that you can experience newness of life. You can receive forgiveness. You can learn to love by receiving the love of God. And you can enter the kingdom of God. Amen. And so it's important that we understand the fullness of what the Lord is saying to us about welcoming the King of Glory. Now, I'd like you to turn to Psalm 115 for a minute, and this will be probably my concluding. I'll say probably in case something else comes to mind. But here in Psalm chapter 115, it's a great chapter. Not unto us, O Lord, not unto us, but to Your name give glory. Because of Your mercy, because of Your truth. Why should the Gentiles say, so where is their God? You know, when we welcome the King of Glory in, the first thing we do is we learn to live for the glory of God. We welcome Him in. When He comes as the King of Glory, we welcome Him into our life, and we do everything. We live, we eat, we drink to the glory of God. Sin is anything that's less than that. Sin is falling short of the glory. But we as believers can live and exist and walk in the fullness of the glory of God day by day. You know, it's really hard to explain glory, but you can tell when something is glorious and good versus something that is sad and despondent. Walking in the glory, the fullness, the privilege of something. And notice secondly that he says, but our God in heaven, He does whatever He pleases. Their idols are silver and gold, the work of men's hands. They have mouths, but they do not speak. Eyes they have, but they do not see. They have ears, but they do not hear. Noses they have, but they do not smell. They have hands, but they do not handle. Feet they have, but they do not walk, nor do they mutter through their throat. Those who make them are like them, so everyone who trusts in them. And here we see that we're to place our trust in God. It's so easy to be pulled into idolatrous things, to be pulled into things that are lesser gods, to be pulled into things. Someone said, Martin Luther said, your God is whatever you serve. And when we serve Almighty God, we set aside the lesser gods that could control our life. Place your trust in God. Look at verse 10 and 11. You who fear the Lord, trust in the Lord. He is their help and their shield. Now three times in verse 9 through 11, he talks about those who trust in the Lord. Verse 9, he is their help and their shield. He talks about those in verse 10 who trust in the Lord. He is their help and their shield. You who fear the Lord, trust in the Lord. He is your help and their shield. Three times he's emphasizing this. He's saying, put your trust in your in the Lord. Trust in the Lord. He is your help. He is your shield. It's all God-focused. It's all putting our trust and our hope and our restfulness in the things of the Lord. Place your trust in God. Then we come down to verse 12 and 13. The Lord has been mindful of us. He will bless us. He will bless the house of Israel. He will bless the house of Aaron. He will bless those who fear the Lord, both small and great. And so, thirdly, we've got to focus on the blessings of God. He will bless. When the Lord of glory comes in, He will bless. When Jesus came on that day on a colt into Jerusalem, Hosanna, Hosanna, in the name of the Lord, He was coming with the promise of blessing. He was coming with a different promise than what the crowds understood. They were looking for a political solution. Jesus came with a spiritual solution. Ephesians says, all spiritual blessings in Christ are ours. The hope, the strength, the possibilities of our life, the potential of our life is always about the blessing that comes through Jesus Christ. Amen? You know, there's not a person here that wouldn't be blessed if you got $10,000. I don't know what you'd do with it. That'd be a great test of your soul, wouldn't it? Not one of us would not be blessed if we had more material things. There are many things that we could look to and seek to achieve. None of us would be fretful if our boss came to us on Monday and said, we've given you a promotion and we're giving you a raise in pay. You know, these are all things that are blessings. But none of them can sustain us and strengthen us and hold us and give us purpose and ability to overcome like reflecting and placing our understanding in the fact that in Christ we have spiritual blessing. Our soul is blessed. Our mind is blessed. Our will is blessed. Our ability to overcome is blessed in the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen? You know, there are a few of us in this very room that are struggling. There are challenges, job occupation challenges, you know, hand-to-mouth existence, trying to make enough to pay the bills and buy a few groceries. And it's a challenge. But you can overcome when you keep your focus on Christ and you keep your heart blessed in Him and you look to Him and He fills your heart and He fills you with purpose and the ability to push ahead. And then we see in verses 14 and 15, He says, may the Lord give you increase more and more, you and your children. May you be blessed by the Lord who made heaven and earth. Now, I believe personally, when we turn to the Lord and walk with Him, that He will increase us little by little, more and more. God told the people of Israel, every place you put your foot, you shall have that land. When we possess by faith, when we move into the various projects of our life, when we move into various situations, increase comes little by little by little by little. It says over in 2 Corinthians, be forward a year ago. Whatever you were a year ago, be forward that this year. Little by little. No instant success. One of the great problems in life is when different individuals try to get instant success. Well, if I do this business enterprise, I'll have success. If I do this, I'll have success. And everybody's trying to get instant success. Why do you think millions upon millions of people, there was a $332 million jackpot last Saturday for someone in New Jersey who bought a ticket. You know, $332 million. That meant a lot of people bought tickets. That means that's just the prize. There's a lot more bought tickets because the government takes their share. But a lot of people bought, if I can just put a dollar ticket, if I can buy a dollar ticket, maybe I'll get the jackpot. They're looking for instant success. There's a great temptation to try to jump into success in ways that are not wise. And when we do that, we avoid the fact that the Lord says, I give you increase little by little by little. I give you increase more and more. I will bless you and your children. You will be blessed by the Lord. I'm talking about how do we open the gates of glory. Open the gates that the Lord of glory may come in. And then I see in verses 16, I love this verse. I've spoken on this verse before, but I've just taken in the context. The heaven, even the heavens, are the Lord's. But the earth He has given to the children of men. The heavens of the Lord. He says, the heavens belong to God. He says that that in the heavens we have the promise. And I'm thinking of Isaiah 57:15. God says, I dwell in the high and holy place. But in the second half of the verse, Isaiah 57:15b, I dwell with him who has a contrite and humble heart. God says, I dwell in the high and holy place, heaven. But I also dwell on earth with him who has a contrite and humble heart. Amen. Heaven and earth. Heaven belongs to God, but the earth belongs to the sons of men. We are called and destined to bring the Lord of glory into the earth. We are the gates who are to welcome the Lord of glory into the earth. In each and every one of us is a gate. Jesus said in Matthew 28, all authority has been given to me, and I give it to you. Now go, make disciples, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to obey everything that I have commanded, and lo, I am with you to the end of the age. That means God, Jesus authorized us, that we are the gates. Every one of us have a gate responsibility. In the Old Testament, the people who stood in the gates were the local authorities, the mayor, the assemblymen, the lawmakers, the law enforcers, the sheriffs, the businessmen in the gates of the city. Well, we stand in the gate of the city. We are representatives of the kingdom of God. You have authority. I have authority. Every one of us have authority in Jesus' name. We have authority to stand as a child of God. Nobody can take what we have in Christ away from us. The devil can't take it away. Nobody can take it away from us. You know, the fact is that we are gates of the Lord. And our lives are bringing in the glory of the Lord into our society. Amen? I dwell on a high and holy place, and I dwell with him who has a contrite and humble heart. Look at Isaiah 12:2, which says, the Lord is my strength and has become my salvation. And then in verse 6, cry out and shout, the Holy One of Israel is in your midst. The Lord is my strength and my salvation. Now cry out and shout, the Holy One of Israel is in your midst. You see, He's the God of heaven, but He's in our midst. And He's in our midst as He touches our lives. However numerically strong the body of Christ is. I'm not talking just about the institutional church and those who profess and say they're quote-unquote and then hold to all kinds of doctrines and ideas about, immorality and approving different. I'm not talking about the compromised church. But I'm talking about the uncompromising church. I'm talking about the church committed to Jesus Christ. I'm talking about the church that's yielded to the Lordship of Christ. And in their yielding to His Lordship, they are crying out, and the Holy Spirit, the Holy One of Israel, is in their midst. Therefore, when you and I go to work on Monday, therefore, when you're in your neighborhood, therefore, when you're on your recreational team playing soccer, or when you're at the exercise place, or you're at work among your fellow employees, or whatever you're doing, you're at the school campus, you're in your class, you are a gateway person. You are a gate of the Lord. Let the Lord of glory come in. Cry out and shout, the Holy One of Israel is in your midst. And then in Philippians chapter 2, verse 12 and 13, it is the Lord who works in you both to will and to work for His good pleasure. Let me just state that again. It is God who works in you both to will and to work for His good pleasure. Heaven, God is working in each one of us. Now look at the second half of the phrase there. Work out your salvation with fear and trembling. Heaven and earth, it is God that is at work within you. Now, work out your salvation with fear and trembling. Amen? And so, we are the gates of the Lord. We welcome the glory of God. You know, when you reach out to your neighbors and with no other purpose than just to be a friend and love them and be kind to them, maybe invite them to a tea, ladies. Maybe men get a game of neighborhood basketball going. Reach out, relationships. You stand among them as a gateway person. You stand among them as a gate to the kingdom of heaven. You stand among them, and as you're relating to them, they're watching you. And they watch you and they see who you are. And in that living embodiment of the kingdom of God, that expression, there's a great opportunity that the Lord of glory may come in to their lives because you cared and walked with peoples in that way. And so we need to translate this principle from a grandiose concept into a very pragmatic outworking of the kingdom of God. We can make it that we are a gate person so that the Lord of glory may come in. Well, let's look at the last verse, verse 17 of Psalm 115. The dead do not praise the Lord, nor any who go down into the silence. But we, the living, will bless the Lord from this time forth and forevermore. One of the things that Christians have to overcome is in our relationships with unbelievers is they have a way of thinking. They have a culture. They live in a culture. They live in a way of thinking. They don't think as believers. They're unbelievers. They're not consciously unbelievers. They're just who they are. They're citizens of the community. They're career people. They have families. They have their occupations and preoccupations. They have their sports and recreation routines. They're just who they are. They're not even consciously aware that they're sinners. They're not even consciously aware that in many ways they've adopted semi-perverted to seriously perverted ways of life. They're just who they are. They're dead in their trespasses and sin. They're dead spiritually. They aren't aware. Are you with me? And here we are, filled with life, regenerate life, possessed by the Spirit of God. We know life and it abundantly. And then we make a false conclusion. Because we're the way we are, they're the way they are, and they don't want us. They're not even thinking about us. For the most part, they're not even aware of us. For the most part, you know, I know they some have some stereotypes about church and Christians, you know, hypocrites and all that. But that's usually the cynical people. For the for the 5 or 6, 10% cynical people, there's 90% that aren't even aware. And I believe God has given us the holy mission to relate to people as a gate that the Lord of glory may come in. And I think the church sometimes belittles itself. You know, we're just kind of the minority. We're kind of despised. We're rejected. Who are we? And I believe the Lord would change our self-image. If we are the alive ones. We have the truth. We have the reality. We know what it's like to have forgiveness and newness of life and the power of love. And I believe God would say to us, quit living in the cave of religious ostracization and come out in the open and just love people, relate to people, and let your light shine. Jesus said, don't be like the one who puts a cup over their lampstand, but let your light shine. And then we will be a gate by which the Lord of glory may come in. Amen. Praise God. Thank you. You may stand. Hallelujah. I know that there have been times when we could have had open doors to our neighbors, and I, particularly, Linda, we didn't act in doors of opportunity. And we should have. And over the last 40 years, I can think of a couple of situations particularly. One time, there was a neighbor boy on this side and a neighbor boy on this side who were friends of Pastor Dan. His friends, about 5, 6 years old, maybe 7. And these two boys connived to keep coming to our door, and they would put an 8.5 by 11 paper in our door, ring the doorbell, and run. And when they would run, there'd be an awful saying, 4-letter words, on the papers. And we're up to about 56 of these. And my wife says, you got to do something about this, didn't you? we're just kids. You've got to do something about this. And so I was out visiting, this is back in the 70s, I was out visiting, and I had come back, I had my sports coat on and tie, and so I picked up a whole pile of these things, and I went next door. When I came to the door, the woman saw me, she said, oh, I don't want to come to your church, I don't want to do with you. And I said, oh, I wished I was here for that reason, but I'm not here, I'm here for a neighbor reason. Oh, okay, come in. And I showed her what had happened. And, you know, in that moment, she was stricken with shame. As a mother, single mom, failing. Well, that lady came to know Christ. She was baptized right here. She's a member of our church for many years. Her mother came to know Christ. The daughter came to know Christ. You know, how to touch our neighbors. There may be opportunity. That was an opportunity in disguise, wouldn't you say? I didn't see it as an opportunity. But in walking in truth, the glory of God came through the gate. And I believe there are many, many other ways God will show you how you can show the light of Christ to other people by caring. I mean, making real friendship with your neighbors. Really reach out and invite them to eat or go out to eat or whatever. Have a pizza night. Invite them to a to a game night. Let the light of the gate show, and God will use you to bring others to Christ. Father, we thank you for this time. Let this great day of celebrating Christ's entrance into Jerusalem, where they would have been blessed if they had said, "Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord." And later he had to judge you and say, "You will not escape judgment until you say, 'Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord.'" And Father, we pray in Jesus' name that you will give enlightenment today. Shower our hearts with love. Empower us, Lord, to overcome a frigidity or a hesitation or perhaps even a perception that my Christian testimony wouldn't be acceptable to the world. When in fact, Lord, if we let our light shine, there are many who are waiting for someone to show them the light on their pathway, that they might have hope and come to know you. And so, Lord, in Jesus' name, I pray a blessing over each one of us. May you be blessed. May you let your light shine. May you, in particular, not the next person to your right or left, but you, each one of us, let our light shine, that the King of Glory may come in. In Jesus' name, amen.